Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Always glad to have this man back. He's an author. He's a geologist. He, of course, is of the CO2Coalition.org. It's Gregory Wrightstone. Greg, how are you? Good to see you.
Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, it's good to be back home with you. It's been too long.
It has been.
Yeah, it's been several months now.
Well, we wanted to have you back on because watching the news and watching the nuttiness that's going on surrounding so-called climate change, we don't call it global warming anymore because sometimes it cools off and it warms up a little bit. So the climate is changing and nobody can argue against that. But you've been so righteous in the information that you bring. I love the book, Inconvenient Facts. Hopefully everybody will go and get that. Go to the website, co2coalition.org. I want to bring up the meetings that we have, these global meetings, this G20, the G8, the WEF, all this stuff, where everybody flies in by the hundreds of private jets and then tell us all that we're polluting too much. When you see something like that, I mean, first, you probably have to smile. And then second, you notice the hypocrisy like I do, right? It's nuts, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And especially just 2 days ago, it was reported Pete Buttigieg, our transportation secretary, has been lecturing us all to go over to electric vehicles and watch our carbon footprint. It's revealed that he's been taking dozens of private jet flights. Well, there was in the Trump administration, he had part of his circle was actually drummed out of the government because they were taking private jets.
Right.
But it's okay for Pete, but you know, private jets for me, but not for thee. And it's the hypocrisy just rankles. They buy their seaside villas, but yet they lecturing us about the dangers of sea level rise. And in fact, Joe, one thing I've been talking about at COP27, they barely said anything about net zero. It was all about net zero the last one. And this year, because of the energy situation in Europe, barely a mention was made. Now it's all about reparations that we're going to have to pay. You know, the United States and the Western economies are going to have to pay climate reparations because of climate damage. It was led by the nation of Tuvalu, which is in the Southeast Asia, that they were going to be overwhelmed by sea level rise. Well, think about this, Joe. They're about the highest point on the islands, about 9 feet above sea level. It's pretty close, barely above sea level. 20,000 years ago, those same island nations of Tuvalu were also just above sea level. Since that time, sea level has risen 400 feet. So it's risen 400 feet, yet here we are. The islands of Tuvalu are still just above sea level, and that's because of a geologic process known as accretion. So what they're saying is, well, it's risen 400 feet in 20,000 years, but that last 8 inches of sea level rise, that's going to do these islands in, right?
No. Greg, I've got to remind you of something that you already know. If it were real that we were concerned about the polar ice cap melting and the sea level overtaking Manhattan and everything else, Barack Obama wouldn't be living in a house in Martha's Vineyard, and he wouldn't be building a new house in Hawaii because they'd both be underwater. The more they say it, the more they buy beachfront property. And we can just go by their purchases. If we looked at their checkbooks, we would know that they know that this is not real. And you mentioned Pete Buttigieg. Of course, John Kerry is also flying around in a private jet. So is Al Gore. So is Nancy Pelosi. So is Leonardo DiCaprio, who claims that he's the climate guy as well. These people just think we're stupid. And hopefully more people are waking up through Getting Inconvenient Facts, your great book, or by going to the CO2Coalition.org. When it comes to electric vehicles, I don't know that you and I talked about this at length before, but I saw a study recently, or I heard it on the radio, that it takes decades for you to drive the electric vehicle around to offset the amount of carbon, the carbon footprint it takes just to make it. Is that true? Do you know that?
Well, I don't know. I've seen studies like that. I'm not sure if it's decades, but it's many, many years.
Yeah.
Because what they do is they say, oh, it's a zero emission vehicle,
but
they don't look at the front end or the back end.
Right.
The front end is what's the energy and the environmental degradation that's created by the mining of these rare earth minerals,
right,
and the energy and the fossil fuels that are used to consume to build these things. And then they don't look at the back end, which we've talked before about just the terrible situation where you're going to have to, what are we going to do with all these solar panels and wind turbine blades? And the other news that came out just last week was that the wind turbines, actually the lifespan they used to say was 25 years. Now it's been revealed that actually it's more like on the order of 12 years.
Oh, wow.
So you're going to have to replace all this infrastructure. It's just more and more and more expensive. And plus the ability for the wind turbines to actually work degrades very quickly.
I wonder if you can readdress something that we talked about last time as well. You're the only person I've ever spoken with that made such a salient point when it comes to CO2. Carbon dioxide is what plants and greenery needs to breathe. We breathe oxygen, they breathe CO2. More CO2, as you made the point last time, is good. I hope you'll expand upon that. Plus, the temperature going up a little bit is actually good for human beings and for growth, is it not?
Oh, it is. And we can see that the modest temperature rise we've seen of just about 1 degree Celsius since 1900, that combined with increasing CO2 is leading to an Earth and its ecosystems that are thriving and prospering. By almost every metric we look at, our ecosystems are expanding. What we look at, and if you actually look at the facts, you hear a lot about deforestation. The fact of the matter is the Earth is experiencing reforestation. Across the United States, we've seen a 50% increase in standing timber since the mid-50s. And in Pennsylvania alone, I just saw the other day, a fivefold increase in standing timber of forests in the state of Pennsylvania. And we see that almost throughout the entire world is reforestation.
Nobody's reporting that. Greg, nobody's reporting that. Why? Because it would be a good thing?
And what they are doing, they're talking about deforestation, places like the Amazon, there is some of that going on. And why is it being deforested? They're looking for rare earth minerals to fuel this electric vehicle battery market and to create what they're needed for this new electric market. They're cutting down forests in Indonesia to put up palm oil trees instead of the orangutan niche environments. They're cutting that down and the palm oil trees for to use again for this their energy, their biofuel mixture. It's crazy. I guess we have to destroy the environment in order to save it.
It's so dumb. No, it doesn't make any sense.
But you're right. It's this great story, and we see back. You know, we've talked many times about my next book. I'm diving into about the many benefits over the last several thousand years, where we always each of the previous three warming periods were always equated with huge prosperity, rising civilizations and empires. We see throughout history, we see that the rise and fall of temperatures was associated with the rise and fall of civilizations and empires. And it's been just opposite of what we're being told. And historically, if we look back through, we see that great empires and civilizations rose up and food was bountiful in those really warm areas and eras. And it's the cold periods that were horrific. And so history tells us that we should welcome the warmth and fear the cold.
And for me, of course, just as a common guy, I'm not a geologist, not an expert on this stuff. I know that I thrive more when I can go outside and utilize a beautiful day. When it's 2 degrees outside, I can't do as much. You can't thrive as much. And it only makes sense that historically, when it was warmer, we thrived as humans. When it was cooler, we didn't. It's Gregory Wrightstone. Get the book, Inconvenient Facts. Also go to CO2Coalition.org. Great news. Heard this yesterday or the day before. Somebody somewhere in some lab took some energy and put it into some sort of device and got much more energy out of it. All of our energy issues are solved. It's called what? Fusion of something, some sort of an atomic nuclear thing was done. Great news, Greg. We can use a little bit of energy and get a lot more out of it, right?
Kind of, sort of, but not really. What they're doing is, I tell you what they did.
What did they do?
Nuclear fusion energy. So what they did was, they take a fuel pellet. Bear in mind that each one of these pellets are handcrafted and it costs $1 million.
Oh, wow.
And they shoot a laser into it. And so what they did was they shot a laser into this fuel pellet and they got 67% of the energy put in came back out. So they didn't quite make more energy with this fusion reaction, but they're getting close.
Well, that isn't what they reported. They reported they got more energy out. They didn't?
No, they did not.
Really?
They broke the record for the amount of energy that came out as went back in, and they're expecting to get there soon. But I was in a Zoom call with It's what I do. I was on one with a bunch of physicists today from the CO2 Coalition, and there's a joke going around the physics community that they were telling me about this. They said that fusion energy is always 50 years away. They said it's been 50 years away for 40 years. You know, every year it's always moved back another decade every time. And so I thought that was pretty funny. So, but actually what they don't talk about, all they talk about is the energy of the laser itself that went into it. They don't talk about the energy that's required from the grid to create that laser.
Oh,
and
yeah.
For every unit of energy from that laser that goes into it, it takes 200 units from the grid to do that. And because these lasers are magnetic cooled and water cooled, they're very, very fuel intensive and energy intensive. So they're not even close to this. It's perhaps it's something we should continue investing in. I think that's a great idea. But it's decades, many, many decades away from solving this problem. And I think what they did with this, what they want is they're getting so much pushback on net zero now and going away from fossil fuels. They can say, well, look here, this is right on the edge. We're on the cusp of net zero, bountiful net zero fusion electricity. When it's not, there's nothing of the sorts like that. We're many decades away from that. And there's no replacing, as you know, the three words I like for electricity and energy is reliable, abundant, and affordable.
Right.
That can only be from fossil fuels, natural gas, coal, and oil are reliable, abundant, and affordable. Nuclear is reliable and abundant, but it's not quite as affordable as the others. And the renewables are just awful on all three counts. They're not reliable, they're not abundant, and they're not affordable.
If my math is serving me right, and it's Gregory Wrightstone, make sure you go to CO2coalition.org. If my math is serving me right, you'd have to get 200 times the energy as a result to just pay for or to be even with the energy used to get the result.
Right. It's very much like the renewables when all they do is they focus on just, you know, after the, you know, what after that EV is built.
Right.
What's it, you know.
And forget and everything it took to get there.
Right. The solar panel.
Yeah.
They don't look at what was required to put the solar.
Yeah.
To create that solar panel or to create those wind turbines or the energy required to put up these offshore wind facilities, which are. There's one coming to you if you live along the shorelines of the Gulf or the East Coast. There's a whole many thousands planned to ruin, not just ruin your view, but to endangered right whale along the Atlantic margins.
Right.
It's just bad news. They're doing really stupid things for our energy sector and destroying it. And it's showing the chickens are coming home to roost, particularly strongly. In Europe, we're seeing it. The problems in New England with huge increases in the electricity costs, and that's mainly because of the natural gas situation there. 61% of New England's electricity is generated from natural gas, and right south of them, just a couple hundred miles south in Pennsylvania and eastern Ohio, we have the vast quantities, largest natural gas field in the world, and they can't get the gas from there to New England because of bans on pipelines from New Jersey and New York.
It's so
and
dumb.
What yeah. complicates this is the Jones Act. They can't import cheap energy from Louisiana and Texas into Boston because of the Jones Act. Because the Jones Act says you have to have an American flagged tanker to go from one American port to another. And so they got to buy five times the cost of their natural gas, liquefied natural gas from Saudi Arabia and Algeria. And Spain moving through there. It's just stupid. Joe Biden could solve that problem with a waiver tomorrow. He did it for Puerto Rico, waiving the Jones Act, but he won't do it for Boston.
Of course not, because he wants the power and control. That's my opinion, not necessarily yours. And we can't go in and get fossil fuels. The drilling permits are all stopping. He keeps saying, no more drilling. We're not going to do any more drilling. I'm not going to send any more drilling. And then he tells Venezuela, by the way, go ahead and drill. So they're not really worried about the climate because Venezuela, from what I understand, is on the same planet as we are. So it doesn't make any sense. This, to me, is about power and control. I've got about a minute or two left, Greg. You got to fill us in on the new educational programs with science, comic books, lesson plans for homeschooling, some videos for parents as well. How can people find out more about this? What is it?
Yeah, we're about ready to roll it out. We're rolling out our new website. It's not available yet. CO2 Learning Center on it. We've got the first three of a series of science-based comic books for children.
Great.
It's done manga style, which is like anime. I've got a talented Brazilian artist. We're going, the second book we've got is called Simon the Solar Powered Cat. It's cool. About photosynthesis. And the good thing about this, Joe, is we've got lesson plans that we developed. Dr. Sharon Camp, PhD in analytic chemistry. She taught and wrote AP curricula. She's retired now, but she's writing our lesson plans for homeschool and for charter schools. It's powerful. We've got videos. You can go to CO2 Learning Center YouTube. That's available right now.
Okay.
Again, we've got lesson plans for these videos. Again, it's teaching science without the climate alarmism. There's nothing else like it out there. I'm just so proud. We have this committee of it's unbelievable, Joe. We got 15. You'd think they'd be egghead PhDs. and what they've accomplished, it's the children that we've shown it to. They just love it. And my granddaughter's asked me to read. Well, actually, she reads it to me. She's 5 years old, nice. But reads the book to me, and she just loves it. She's probably read it 10 times.
Well, what is that YouTube site again so people can go?
CO2learningcenter.com.
I love it. I hope everybody will go.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
And again, thanks for jumping in the chair today. So much going on. We've got to do this more often. I'm not sure why it's been so such a while, but people should go and check out the YouTube channel. Go to co2coalition.org. It's Gregory Wrightstone. Get his book, Inconvenient Facts, as well. Greg, thanks a million for jumping on today.
Thank you.
Talk to you in a bit. We're back after this. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great to have you. Thanks. I really enjoy having Gregory Wrightstone on. I will post that interview later because a lot of you are going to need that for the holidays when your uncles and aunts show up and tell you that the world is melting or something like that. So make sure that that you go and check it out on Rumble. Just go to joepags.com, click on the Rumble link. That's the one that looks like a play button, and you'll see all the interviews that I do. Short videos on Instagram, Joe Talk Show, on YouTube as well, Joe Pags Radio, Pop Culture. Up. Dirty Pop. What's happening, Polo?
So I know you're not the biggest Ellen fan, but I mean, I'm sure that you had seen her show at least a few times.
I didn't. I know what you're going to say, but I didn't know him from Ellen. I knew him from So You Think You Can Dance.
Right. And he was also in a few of the Step Up movies.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, DJ Steven Twitch Boss was his name. They're saying that he had checked into a motel one day before his body was found. There weren't any indications that he was upset or anything like that. But I mean, this was definitely something planned, you know, and he took his own life.
Sucks. I only knew him as Twitch, and the guy was just effervescent, always very happy. Very sad to hear that today. That is Polo. That is Sam. That's Carrie. I'm Joe. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
This is the Joe Pags Show.